Welcome. Welcome the new morning.
Young'uns Podcast. Previously on the Young'uns Podcast. How about this for a catchphrase? Use your loaf, lose the loaf.
Oh, this looks like my kind of podcast. Pussy vomit.
This is nowhere near as good as it was in the toilet.
Perhaps we should question Michael Hughes' sexuality. What other possible explanation could there be? Michael Hughes, I think you've been found out, my friend. I just thought I can't listen to this anymore, because I just listened to 4 hours of you grunting in my ear. There was quite a lot of grunting and obviously a lot of banging as well, but that's the way we like it, ladies. The memories, some of that material taken from 3 weeks ago. What a crazy world we lived in back then. Welcome to the Young'uns Podcast. Another packed Young'uns Podcast this week coming up. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware, the Young'uns Podcast is fast becoming a go-to, trusted, reliable source for the latest folk news. Programmes like Mark Radcliffe on BBC Radio 2, Mike Harding's podcast, Folkcast, Folk Radio, all those places, all the folk magazines. I'm just conscious of the fact that they're overlooking some of the important stories in the folk world. For instance, did you know before you listened to the Young'uns Podcast that Sam Pert from the Hutt People was so into juice and health tips and that kind of thing? Why isn't anyone covering this kind of thing? This week I've realised that we're the only people who are going to bring you the important folk stories. There's a niche there that needs tapping into. So this week we launch our new feature on the Young'uns Podcast, Folk in Focus, where we look at the latest folk-related stories that are going on in the world. We'll bring you all the important folk-related stories. Talking of Sam Pertz, here we are, of course, returning to him for the second, is it, in the series? Yes, it is, of Juice a Minute, where he'll be featuring another of his well-tested and special juices for us, vegetable and fruit blends. Once again, we enter the mind of Sean Cooney for another description of a Sean Cooney dream. And also, I've got a dream that I'm going to talk about as well, so I think this maybe could be a regular feature, Young'uns folk-related, sometimes even non-folk-related dreams. Mike Wilson from the Wilson family is going to chat to us about working with Sting. The Wilsons have been working with Sting, and about their performance as part of the BBC Proms. Plus, we've got some more clips from our recent performance at the Welly Folk Club, the Wilsons Folk Club, that we did a couple of weekends ago. And music-wise, we've got another collaborative songs between the Young'uns and the Wilsons as well. And also a group of school children who've been working with Sean Cooney have created a song with Sean about the suffragette movement. All that and more coming up on this week's Young'uns Podcast, entitled Michael is My Penetrator. Had two potential names for this week's podcast: Michael is My Penetrator, which is the one we went for, and Stroking Up Catherine Tickell. But we decided to go for Michael is My Penetrator instead, because we thought, well, you know, if Catherine Tickell just sort of stumbled across, what the heck is this, Stroking Up Catherine Tickell? It's a bit random. But of course, all those reasons, both of those names will be revealed on this week's podcast. Now, last week we played a couple of songs, Young'uns Wilson's collaborations from the Welly, which is the Wilson's own folk club. The two Teesside groups, the Young'uns and the Wilson's, collaborating together as part of the Festival of the Northeast, which took place a couple of weeks ago. We got another two songs this week. This is the first of those, Mine is Lifeguard.
Mine is life is like a sailor's on a ship, take her off the waves. Every day is life in danger. Keep your hand upon your wages and your arms.
your wages and your eye upon the scale. You've been taught and taught again, boys. You've been loyal to the one. But what have you to show for working since your mining has begun?
Lifeguards, the Young'uns and the Wilsons collaborating as part of a Festival of the North East a couple of weekends ago, and that was taken from the Wilsons' home folk club, the Welly. We've got some clips from that gig, a little bit of Wilsons' Young'uns banter. We collaborate both song-wise and comedy-wise, you could say. Well, perhaps not comedy. I don't know what you want to necessarily call it. We'll do a couple of those after my little chat with Mike Wilson. We had a brief chat to him about Sting and working with him and the BBC proms that they performed at a year or two ago. And it was the reason I did this is because I was having a great chat with Mike, and it was sort of really effusive, and we were having a great laugh and stuff. And I thought, yeah, just do a little piece of the podcast. That'll be nice. You know, we're going to play a couple of songs in the way. Just do a, you know, he's a really great sort of laugh, great character. You know, he's have some stories up his sleeve about working with Sting. He was telling me all sorts of stories. As soon as I put the recording on, he sort of dried up a little bit and sort of went a little bit melancholy. So, not quite the rip-roaring interview that I'd planned, but still an interesting chat about his work with Sting and that kind of thing. It's only a couple of minutes, and then we're going to play a couple of clips from our gig. We'll be talking about, you know, the fact that the Wilsons are now performing with Sting. So this is me talking to Mike Watterson. No. Mike, oh my goodness. Now that would be an interesting feature. Oh, that would be more like it. Imagine that. You thought the world had been shocked when Derek O'Cora claimed to talk to Michael Jackson. Well, my goodness, David Eagle, never shown any mediumistic promise in his entire life, claims to be speaking this week to Mike Watterson from beyond the grave. What's that you're saying? I can't understand what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen. Just a second. It's very difficult to understand. What? Michael, this is really difficult. He doesn't seem to be speaking English. Oh, he's singing a folk song. Fol-de-rol, fol-de-rol-de-rol, fol-de-rol, fol-de-rol-de-day. Mike Watson's just singing a folk song there. See, I'm not much of a... I'm not a very good medium as it is. You know, he's confusing me here. Mike, what you... I'm trying difficult to communicate with him. What's he doing now? With a big bow-wow, tow-row-row? This is ridiculous. Well, I'll come back to Mike Watson a little bit later. I can't get in touch with him at the moment. He's just singing folk songs. It took me a while to work that out. Obviously, I don't know the spiritual signs for big bow wow, tow row row. You should see what he was pointing to, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway,
this is Mike Wilson talking to me about the sting and the proms.
The last couple of years for you has been absolutely, you know, two massive things have happened. Obviously, you've done the proms.
Yep.
Which is, you know, brilliant to hear you kind of singing with orchestras and that kind of thing. I thought maybe there was a whole new album. I thought you'd have thrown your toys on the proms. We're not performing in little porky places like this, you know. We're going to have to perform in the Albert Hall, and Sydney Opera House is going to be next and that kind of thing. Are there any plans to do the Sydney Opera House?
If the last us, we'll go there, the gig with the Northern Sinfonia was fantastic and challenging, musically it was very challenging,
because how do you find that, because normally obviously you're unaccompanied, so you were actually performing Drunken Sailor with an orchestra,
and the arrangement was Percy Grainger's arrangement, which was very involved,
and then of course this other thing with Sting. Talk to us about that.
Okay, Sting's written a play called The Last Ship, about his upbringing in Wall's End in the northeast of England, and he's written 22 songs on the back of the play. So the play will be released in America in spring 2014, but he didn't want the songs to be lost just to the play, so he's released a new album called The Last Ship. And it's released on the 24th of September in America and 23rd of September in the UK. And we have been singing on 9 songs. So.
Wow. So how did you get asked to do that? Was Sting aware of your work? Was it through Sting himself?
We've got a mutual friend called Catherine Tickell.
Right. So she's come up top trunk, because it was there with the drums as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So we need it. There we are. We know how to blackmail and bribe and, stroke up the right way.
Up the right way with Catherine Tickell.
My goodness, there's a revelation. So how did you went to his you went to his house, didn't you?
We did. We recorded at the Sting's house in Wiltshire in January. Initially it was going to be 2 songs, and we ended up recording 9 songs on the album.
Wow.
So
brilliant. So people can hear that on the 23rd of
September.
Excellent. Right, well we're off to rub Catherine Tickell up and so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I'm sure she will.
I'm not going to do myself any favours calling her Tickle rather than Tickell. I'm just wondering, that's not going to help, is it, really? Anyway, thank you very
She'll
much.
She'll enjoy it.
Thank you, mate.
I think we potentially upset quite a few people this week. We've talked about communicating with the deceased Mike Watson, and now we're talking about rubbing up Catherine Tickell. Yeah, that's the way we do it on the Youngins Podcast, which I'm a shock jock. Back to the way we go now for some Youngins Wilson's banter.
I'm sorry we're a bit late. We had a barbecue at Sting's house.
Oh, you're only doing barbecues these days. We go for dinner.
You're in with them shorts on.
That's the only reason he lets us in. He's a bit that way, you know.
It's amazing the bit of Sting's house and everything, haven't you? Came back, the wives are over the moon. I don't know what they've been teaching you. Anyway.
It's all tantric, dude.
But of course you still have to start the usual way, don't you? 2, 3!
Sting started doing that.
You taught him a thing on two.
You watch one, two, and next year. 2, 3.
Okay. It's all in the groin, isn't it, Michael? It's all in the groin. Right.
But then, are you going to do an album? We thought of a great project for you. Sting songs to Wilson's tunes. So John Barleycorn. Fields of Barleycorn. If you won't do it, we will. So you better hurry up.
Oh, we know.
Anyway, I think we've run out of time. What are you meant to say? Our voice? Yeah. Our voice? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say something about this, Mr. Goody. No? All right. Let music speak for itself. God, we have to resort to that, do we?
I'm doing the wrong song.
You're doing the wrong song. Oh, right. Jenny, you can do that if you want. Same keys, you might as well.
The first note.
Aye.
You've got a wee suggested you for Sting's next album.
Well, for our next trick, we're going to do Legal Alien to the tune of John Banker.
John Banker?
John Banker, that's a song, isn't it?
Young Banker.
Sorry, my head's absolutely spinning.
I made this
terrible decision to start doing kids' birthday parties. And I've just done this one in Darlington. It was an absolute disaster. I had like 30 kids with balloons running around. And
look, it's not a disaster unless... Yeah. How many are still alive, Sean? How many did you start with? That's a good gig as far as I'm concerned. Anyway.
Back to the Welly we go later for another song and a bit more talking bits. But I was just thinking about the conversation I had with Mike Wilson. So yeah, as soon as I stopped the recorder, he then suddenly started going, "Oh yes, it was great, David, you know. Oh, we had pints with Sting, we were talking about this and that, oh, it was great." And then Jimmy Nail just walks in, just doesn't even knock, just walks in the house, "How you doing?" You know, has a little chat with us, starts having pints, and a great night. Well, why the hell didn't you tell us that on the recording? He also told us another great story as well, but we'll save that for another time. Don't worry, I won't forget. We'll save it for another time. Don't worry, we're not worried about you forgetting, David. We're worried about you remembering. But it's time for our new news section now to the Young'uns podcast, Folk in Focus. Because as I said before, I'm aware that a lot of people just love other folk shows. Mike Harding, Mark Radcliffe, you're doing a great job, but you're not... You know, talking about the folk stories that matter. What about the important folk stories? You know, you play the music and that kind of thing, and maybe we don't play as much music, but what we do, or what we're going to start doing on the Young'uns podcast, is covering the latest all-important folk news. And so here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is our first news section to the Young'uns podcast, which hopefully will be a weekly feature bringing you all the important folk-related news. It's our first Folk in Focus. Hello and welcome to the first Folk in Focus. Today's headlines: Barbara Dixon in domestic disarray, the sleeping habits of Sam Sweeney, and it's shop horror for Kit Bailey. We start with the news about Barbara Dixon, who has announced on Twitter that she's been having domestic issues of recent. I need some papers to shuffle.
Make it sound more professional. Have I actually got any paper? An eco-friendly podcast.
But I probably have, hang on, I probably have a sound of papers on the... Yeah, here we go. Quite a lot of papers there. Right, okay. I'll start that again. Barbara Dixon in domestic disarray. Let's head live to our Folk in Focus domestic correspondent, John Dunning. 65-year-old Scottish folk singer, songwriter and actress Barbara Dixon, OBE, perhaps best remembered for her songs January, February and I Know Him So Well, and for her appearances on the Two Ronnies television show, posted a message on Twitter at 3:30 last Tuesday afternoon. The tweet, her 1,465th since he joined the social networking service in June 2009, paints a bleak picture, far removed from the concept of domestic bliss. "Everything's exploding in my house," she wrote. "Plumbing mainly, but electrics too." However, despite this situation of domestic disarray, Barbara appears to still be in relatively high spirits. In her tweet, she jokes, "Is Saturn in the retrograde cupboard right now? Mine is." Miss Dixon's followers on Twitter have rallied to her support, offering good-humoured comment and advice. Barbara Dixon Twitter follower Tim Harris says the lyrics to a new song should be, while a follower under the pseudonym ARDV8 offers, "Don't touch anything metal until you've had it checked out. Water and electricity don't mix. Be safe." The tweet has already caught the attention of former BBC Radio 2 folk show presenter Mike Harding, who retweeted the tweet just 30 minutes after Barbara's original posting. John Dunning, Folk in Focus, domestic correspondent. Back to you in the studio, David. Thank you very much indeed, John. Kit Bailey is having to do her own shopping at the moment due to her husband Martin Simpson being away on tour. She says that she's shocked by how expensive everything is. Well, I hope you're selling plenty of CDs while you're on tour, Martin, to pay for all the food your wife's buying. In other news, Sam Sweeney from Bellowhead, Kerfuffle, Sam Sweeney and Hannah James, and Sam Sweeney fame, is going to bed rather late of recent, it appears. He announced on Twitter that he didn't retire until 2 o'clock of the morning of Tuesday, the 9th of July. And apparently, this is not an irregular occurrence. We will, of course, keep you up to date with any Sam Sweeney sleeping-related news that comes our way. If you happen to be a friend of Sam Sweeney, or perhaps you're at a festival with him, keep an eye out and let us know if you observe him going to bed. Let us know what time he does that. Or perhaps you're a bedtime partner of Sam's. Get in touch. We'll make it worth your while. We want more than just the time, though. It's back to our story about Barbara Dixon. When last we heard, she was in a state of domestic upheaval, problems with plumbing and electricity. One of our researchers has just informed us that they've been speaking to Barbara on the phone and everything is now absolutely fine and fully resolved. No electrical or plumbing problems in Barbara's house. Oh, apparently we have Barbara on the line right now, even better. Barbara Dixon on the phone. Barbara, how does it feel now that everything is fully resolved and absolutely fine? That must be a great relief to you, Barbara. Barbara? 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 Not sure what's happened there. We seem to have lost her, but I think it's just probably a little problem with the phone line or something. It did sound like a bit like bad reception, didn't it? But as I say, good news for Barbara Dixon. Everything, according to one of our researchers who was speaking to her earlier, everything with Barbara and her domestic situation is now absolutely fine and fully resolved. Great news! And with that very positive news, we will leave you. That's all for this week's Folk in Focus. We'll be back next week. But remember, if you've got a story about someone in the folk world, then you can get in touch with us by locating one of our yoghurt pots, which are hanging from lampposts and trees in various locations around the United Kingdom. Simply shout down one of those. Make sure, of course, that you do pull the string nice and tight. And someone from the Folk in Focus reporting desk will be with you shortly to hear your story. That's the latest from Folk in Focus. Remember that you can keep up to date with all the latest folk stories as they happen via our 24-hour rolling news service. But that's the latest from Folk in Focus. Now it's back to the Yeoman's Podcast. Ah, shuffle me papers one more time. Ah, there we go. Yes! I know normally the Yeoman's Podcast is quite a flippant item, but I did feel as if we do need to bring you these serious stories from time to time. The Yeoman's Podcast is capable of being serious now and again, you know. Well, let's hope the phone lines are still working and that it wasn't a problem at our end. I thought it was a problem with Barbara Dixon's phone reception, but it turns out that everything's absolutely fine. Hello, Mr. Cooney!
Hello, it's not Mr. Cooney, it's Mr. Hargreaves.
It's not Mr. Cooney, this is Sean's dad.
Mr. Hargreaves, now listen here, young man. I'm in the process of judging, the weather's quite fine here, actually. I'm in the process of judging the garden competition, and I've got a Mr. Cooney Senior here with me, who's telling me some cock and bull story that he's absolutely spent a fortune on his garden. And yes, you know quite rightly so, the limit on spend is £33.50, I believe. Is that correct?
The listeners to the podcast
you were Mr. Podcast?
About 2.5 years ago, may recall this reference.
Sir, what is your name?
This podcast? David Eagle. This is a very strange...
David Podcast Eagle.
Yeah, this is very strange. Yeah, listeners may remember
two
and a half years ago, there was a comment about a prank that we played on Sean's dad. It was about 2.5 years, I think, when that happened. We were at Sidmouth Festival, probably about 2 years ago, actually, when we played a prank on Sean.
No, you're saying 2 years ago, not 2.5 years ago.
I can't even explain to the listeners what's going on.
You sound like a politician.
You know, normally we don't play music on the podcast, but I'm suddenly tempted to play just 3 folk songs in a row. I think that might be the way forward.
Right. I've got you, man.
Is it? Was that a meticulous descriptive bit there?
I will pass you on to Bill.
Bill?
Part of the duo Bill and Ben, Flowerpot men.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Mr. Cooney's dad there.
Yeah, we're all having a good laugh at it now, but when it's affirmed that he's got senile dementia a week later, then we'll things will be very different. How are you doing, Mr. Cooney?
Hello, Mr. Hill. It's lovely to be back in Hartlepool.
Oh, is that where you are?
It's a bit hot here, and temperatures appear to have taken their effect.
We're going to play something now that you've been involved with the school children in Manchester. You've been teaching about the, or at least you've been doing music and lyrics and songs about the suffragette movement.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's done with a fantastic group of, six kids from St. John Fisher School in Withenshaw, and they were putting on a performance, which is happening next week. It's Mary Poppins, actually. It's their end of year production, but obviously in Mary Poppins there's a bit of a suffragette link, so I've been going in and researching the suffragettes with the kids, and they've put together this fantastic song. I'm really, really pleased with it. Some of the lines are just phenomenal for like a 10 and 11 year olds to write. As free as a fox prowling through the night, as free as a bird flying from the light. Isn't that beautiful?
When you're teaching that kind of thing, how did children respond? I'm trying to imagine how I responded to the idea. I just thought it was the most absurd thing. The idea that obviously the inequality with women not being able to allowed to vote. I remember learning about the slave trade and that kind of thing. And I'm trying to remember how I thought about that when I was a child, but how do like children nowadays sort of relate to that? Are they shocked that this kind of thing happened?
Absolutely. I mean, everything shocks a kid. I mean, any inequality, because it's just impossible to understand. It's just thousands of years of history, and when you try to explain that to a kid, why people are judged by the colour of their skin or by their sex or class or anything, it's baffling when you're 10.
Yeah. But I mean, it all makes sense when you're 26, and I understand why we have to put women in their position and that kind of thing. But yeah, when you're 10, I just couldn't understand that kind of thing. Let's hear the song, and then we'll come back to you, Mr. Cooney. Well, I think we're going to... I think you've had some strange dreams, so perhaps about folk music-related dreams and that kind of thing. I think once again we can interpret, or at least we can go and delve into the mind of Sean Cooney's dreams, but also I've had some strange folk-related dreams as well. But now this is the Suffragette song with the Ursix group from which school is it?
St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, Withenshaw, Manchester. Woo!
Purple, green and white. She just
Excellent. The Suffragette song. Mr. Guinea, we saw each other last weekend in a non-folk-related capacity. We went to York to see our friend Ben, and we stayed the night. And in the morning, you announced that you'd had a couple of strange folk-related dreams. So I thought we could, once again, delve into the mind of Mr. Sean Cooney. Dreamer.
You know you are a dreamer.
You know you are a dreamer, Mr. Cooney. Talk to me about these odd dreams that you had. Maybe you've had more since we last spoke.
I dreamt on Saturday night that I was responsible for getting Paul Gascoigne back on the booze.
This is a non-folk-related dream, but...
Oh, is that the one you think? I can't remember the other dream.
It doesn't have to be folk-related. You got Paul Gascoigne back on the booze. How did you do it then?
Well, because we were watching the Wimbledon final, me and Gazza, and Murray was winning. And he said, oh, can I have a drink? I said, no, Gazza, you're off it now. You know, you're going to kill yourself if you drink anymore. And then he hit the winning shot.
Mm.
And we went to the pub, and Gazza was like, oh, yeah, well, go on, let me have some champagne. And I said, oh, well, go on then, because he's won.
Yeah.
Well, you're only having one. And he had about three bottles and... Oh, the riot.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Did he, you know, but you should have said, look, Gazza, this isn't the way to behave, you know, let's go to the lake, do some fishing, have a bit of chicken, you know, that's what we need to do. I thought you had another dream about Mike Harnin being a bodyguard or something.
Yes.
There you go, that's a folk-related dream. Tell me about your folk-related dreams, Sean. Paul Gascoigne.
Yes, no, I had a dream that I was in a sandwich shop, and the sandwich shop, for some reason, defied all precedents.
What?
And had a team of bodyguards, a team of bouncers who checked you as you went in,
right,
just to check you weren't carrying ketchup or anything, and who frisked you on the way out as well.
Ooh,
and Mike Harding was one of
the friskers,
aforementioned friskers.
Were you frisked by Mike Harding? This has got.
I don't think he actually frisked me, because I think I was a good boy. I don't think I actually bought a sandwich. I just went in for the crack.
Right, okay, Mike Harding's crack. Interesting.
Thanks for going there, David. I was going to, as you've just played the
kids. Oh, you're going to sex it up?
I was going to play this podcast in class tomorrow, but I don't think I will now.
You don't have to, I wouldn't advise playing it. It's quite a horrific podcast this week. We've had Barbara Dixon's exploded on this week's Youngest Podcast. You can look forward to hearing that. It's quite a dark one. I would just play them that bit. I wouldn't play them the other bit. Well, you're going to play them the bit with your... Hang on, it wasn't me. It was me making that little comment, that innocuous comment, as opposed to your dad going on about gardening for the last 3 minutes and no one had a clue about.
At least that was gardening. He wasn't...
Mike Harding's crevices. That could be the name for the Youngest Podcast if we hadn't decided one already. So I've had a folk-related dream.
We're looking for a venue with great acoustics for an outdoor event at Mike Harding's crevice.
I have dreams where I, you know, when I'm sort of, we're in gigs and that kind of thing, and then either you or Michael, generally Michael, will try and sabotage the gig. The dream I recently had was that, you know, Michael recently, well, actually a couple of years ago, decided to buy a fiddle. He was really into Tom McConville, wasn't he? And he said, oh, I love Tom McConville. I'm gonna buy a fiddle. I don't think it was to seduce him or anything like that. I think it was just because he wanted to play the fiddle on stage. He did. He bought the fiddle. But you know what Michael's like? He has to, I've been in touch with Tom McConville. And he says, you know, I said, recommend me, Tom, the best fiddle player, the best fiddle. And Tom said, oh, you're best starting off with the beginner's one. I said, no, Tom, I'm going to take this seriously. I want the best, only the best for me. And so he got this fiddle. And 2 years later, we've never seen him play it once. I've never even seen him get out, but he's still got it. I think he brought it to a folk club once and maybe played a note or something like that. So anyway, I decided, in this dream, Michael got his fiddle out, but he was saying, oh, I'm going to get the fiddle out. And I thought it was a bit of a joke, and we were having a bit of a laugh about it. But it turned out that Michael was being serious. And it's one of those situations where it was funny originally. You know, Michael was playing the fiddle, it was very bad, but he just kept doing it. And I'm turning to you and say, Sean, we've got to stop him. And he's gone, David, just have a sense of humour, for goodness sake. And I was getting more and more annoyed. And I don't think I did on this occasion, but on other occasions in my dreams, we've had gigs that have been going wrong. And after the gig, I have wrestled Michael. On like one occasion, I remember punching him. Another occasion, I remember wrestling to the ground. And
one occasion, I remember I had a little bit of a wrestling match and I punched him and he started bleeding and stuff. And then I got him, I bent him over my knee and stroked his chin and said, "Now be a good boy." And that's
Were you both clothed?
Yeah, we were clothed. But it's just quite a strange thing. So I'm wondering, do you have that kind of thing? Do you have like dreams about gigs that go disastrously wrong?
Well, there's no need to dream about it. A couple of pipes for you and then we're away.
No, do you have the dreams? Do you have dreams like when we argue and stuff?
I think I do probably. I mean,
Anyway, that's the end of that feature. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Supertramp. We have to move on, but we'll have more Sean Cooney, Michael Hughes, maybe even, and David Eagle dreams in a future on this podcast, I'm sure. Anyway, there we are, Mr. Cooney. Any sort of big... Oh, yes, so the we should probably... one of the other reasons we talked about the suffragettes thing is because next year, we threw a great neat segue from talking about Mike Harney's crack and me stroking Michael to... you know, talking about the educational projects that we're going to be getting on with. Maybe we should do a school's edit of the podcast, I think.
I was telling stories in nursery today, and I had this my story bag.
Yeah.
It had a snake in it, and I said, God.
It had a what?
I had a snake in it. I've got these, like, toy snakes that are really good. Yeah. No, I'm not going to
set down. What? Come on. What?
I'll leave that for next week. The stuff you say in front of kids and you realise at the time, you think, oh...
What did you say, Mr.
No, I'm not going to say that. Yes, we're going into schools and offering some exciting educational packages where snakes will not be stroked. Yes, so all the details are on our website. youngmans.co.uk/education. We've got this fantastic education page. And we're doing a whole load of things. The big one we're working on is putting a bid together to do a huge centenary songwriting project for next year. Obviously, next year is the centenary, the First World War Declaration. We're looking to be working in about up to 20 schools across the country writing songs in remembrance of the war.
Yeah,
putting together a big CD.
And what I think we're going to do is, we're going to put together a CD, and we're also, as part of that, I think the children are going to try and make their own podcast as well. We're going to put that on the internet, so something for the children to present their own sort of radio show and that kind of thing. So there's something to...
Yeah, that'd be great. Afford.
So if there are any teachers or headmasters or anything like that listening, we can, you know... this does seem really odd, doesn't it? It's kind of like a massive dichotomy between what we've just done and this, but never mind. If there are any headmasters or headmistresses, get in touch with us and, you know, we can do something. And, we should probably point out in all seriousness that we are experienced, aren't we? Michael Hughes is a teacher who's done this for 7 or 8 years now, and you've worked extensively in education, and obviously I've worked a lot in education as well, so there you go. All right, that sealed the deal, I think. Thank you, Mr. Cooney.
Yes, you're very welcome. It's been a
roller coaster. A roller coaster of a conversation.
I mean, it would be even better if I could actually hear a word you were saying. But
don't put your dad back on.
Have you explained that to the listeners what he was on about?
No, but I haven't explained to the listeners what I was on about. It was the time when we've played it on the podcast before, I think, and it was a time when Sean's dad was taking part in a gardening competition. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just play that. I'll probably find the clip. I'll just play it as an end. That could be our outtake. We'll just repeat something that we did. So if anyone was wondering why the heck Sean's dad was talking about gardening, then we'll play that at the end of the podcast. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Cooney.
All right, good night, everybody. Take care.
We've still got Sam Pert's Juice a Minute to come, but before that, it's going to be an hour, this podcast, so you're ready for the long haul, listeners. I'm sorry. I was trying to make it 40 minutes long, but we're at 40 minutes now. Never mind. Right, we're going to go back to the welly first for some more young'uns chat. Here you go. Get this down, yeah.
It's all right sort of saying we don't like fascism and that kind of thing. Although you do think, you know, English, all of the drinks I'll scorn, English ale, English cheese, English beer.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to... So... We're going to do a French shanty now. Just to go. Are we allowed? Now, this is where people's true colours.
Oh, you're not doing a French shanty, are you?
The casual racism in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Only against the French.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right then.
That doesn't count as racism.
No.
Normality.
I'm just trying to understand your logic. How does like an English ale make you a fascist?
This is all of the drinks I'll scone. That's why.
Oh, right.
I wasn't expecting you to analyse it in too much detail. Bloody hell, these kids' parties must be. Now let's analyse that story, shall we? Get your bin, get your workbooks out. Let's. Dear. 1,000 word essay. Yes. Dear.
Yeah, Sean, your kids' parties must be.
You, child, was that a simile or was it a metaphor? I'm going to do this entire half an hour and I am big pentameter and you will like it! No, you will not have jelly and ice cream! Dear.
You fascist!
Yeah. I didn't realise how...
Yes?
I didn't realise how loud you are. Michael, you just stood in the middle.
Yeah, Michael's my penetrator. Oh, God. What the hell?
Penetrator.
I mean, in terms of sound. But yo, you're about to sting again.
I knew you were close, man. It's not saying your thoughts about going on tour with you.
It's not just stingers in ears, sir.
And singing a song is precisely what we're going to do, but we're not going to do the French shanty Pique la Baleine, because you've heard that about two or three times already on the Young'uns podcast in the last few weeks. So now we're going to do the Graham Miles song. This is the Wilsons and the Young'uns singing Graham Miles' Sea Call.
Sea Call, if we go and buy a bag, we'll have no left at all. For we need our shillings to buy bread and meat, but if we must go hungry, then at least we'll have eat. Sea call, sea call, hear the man call, we'll few shillings for the finest of fuel. So come stoke up your fires now, for the weather is cruel. It's a cold place in winter, it's all that they will.
See by his wagon that small is his load, but if we must go hungry, then we need to go cold.
Hear the man call. Well, hopefully one person will be hearing me call is Sam Pert, who we're going to do in just a minute. There's a brilliant link there, David. Thank you very much. Before we do that, though, just to say that it's obviously a Graham Miles song, and ourselves, the Young'uns, the Unthanks, the Wilsons, Martin Wyndham Reid are all taking part in a couple of Graham Miles tribute nights. They'll be happening at Saltburn and in London at the Cecil Sharp House. You can find out more information if you go to our website, actually. And I think there's a search facility on our website, actually. So I think if you just type it, if you can type it in there, you'll find it. But as I said, there's spot for choice finding. For the Saltburn dates, I know you can go to saltburnlive.co.uk. 22nd in the Northeast, 23rd in London. Anyway, there was me doing a brilliant link to from Hear the Man Call to me, to Sam Pert hearing my call.
And then I went and talked about something else, but I thought it was important that we talked about that. Now, Sam Pert has heard my call because he's already answered the phone, so, and I've already spoken to him before he went on the air, so, and apparently you're on tour at the moment, Sam.
Yeah.
Where are you speaking to us from now, then?
I'm speaking from Wales, from Lanchestan in Wales.
Right.
We played Lanchestan Folk Club last night, and we were in Birmingham the night before. We're off near Swansea today. To go to another gig.
We've only done one gig in Swansea, I think. It was a festival. It was a strange festival. I don't think I'm going to offend anyone now by telling this story. It was about 3 years ago. I'm going to say it was. I think it was the worst festival we've ever done in our entire lives. there was like no one there. It was a council run festival, and we were essentially performing to a lot of people in suits. Probably about 10, 20 men in suits who all belonged to the council and carried clipboards around, and were kind of doing. No one turned up, so. Oops. It was a bit ridiculous, but we were sharing accommodation with some what turned out to be fascist pirates. And basically what I mean by that is it was a shanty festival. It was like a sea festival. And so we had some pirates who were some people who were sort of dressed up as pirates in the daytime and sang shanties and that kind of thing. But when we got speaking to them, it turned out that they did hold some kind of rather sort of racist, homophobic views and that kind of thing. So it was a really strange thing. It was quite an odd festival. It was the first gig that we thought we'd try, because it was quite a long way to go. It was the first gig that we thought we'd try not driving. We thought we'd try going on the train. And so we did that. But what little did we know that how expensive train travel was. We were very naive. It cost us the most to get there. We hardly made any money whatsoever. The train was crammed, and it was standing room only. And there was a lot of screaming children, both on the way there and the way back. And we had to sort of spend a weekend with council officials and fascist pirates and sort of shout.
Sounds like a really good weekend.
I needed a juice to motivate me after that. How do you find, Sam, when you're gigging then, how do you find like being healthy? Because obviously when you're on the road, I find it quite difficult to be particularly healthy.
You have to look a bit harder.
You can't carry a juice around, can you?
Yeah, you have to look a bit harder when you're on the road. But you can be found, because me and Gary are both after eating healthier, then it can be done. Like if you go into the service stations, for example, some shops in there will often have some fresh fruit just there. And they'll be hidden sometimes, it'll be in the corner. or they have the pre-cut fruit often as well in their packs, which are good.
There you are. So, advice for you are trying to avoid the kind of you don't just let your hair down and say, "Well, we're gigging. I've got no excuse," and you just pop over to McDonald's for
The other thing is, obviously, you can often find a lot of you sell a lot of home food salads and stuff nowadays.
Yeah,
and so there is stuff out there. Might not all be hot, but it'd be more satisfying generally.
So you don't have a portable juicing solution, because that would be good, wouldn't it?
Not at the moment. If we're sometimes going away for just like a day off, I might take one.
That's interesting. I was going to ask about storage, because I've heard they don't store very well.
They don't really, no. The very longest you want to be like drinking it the next day, but you don't want to be keeping it any longer than that.
But apparently a lot of the nutrients, apparently a lot of the nutrients go quite quickly out of a juice.
Yeah, they can do, yeah.
Right then, Sam, would you like to do the honours? I shall press the button to activate the minute waltz. If you'd like to say welcome to Juice the Minute and take it from there, Sam.
So, welcome to Juice the Minute. The juice this week is a very simple. This actually was completely created by me, this one, based on another fantastic juice. And this is a ginger, based on the ginger shot that I think I told you the very first week, I think.
Mm.
And this is a very similar thing, but the twist is. And the ginger shot, normally you use an apple and about a 2 centimetre piece of fresh ginger. But this one, you're going to use a pear and a 2 centimetre piece of fresh ginger. And it's quite different, but quite amazing, this one. And you've got the hit of the fresh ginger, and it's really good for you. Definitely reminiscent of anyone who likes pear ciders. They'll probably like this one a lot as well.
Really? All right. Okay.
Yeah. So, use a nice, find a nice big-sized pear. Cut it in half, drop half the pear in the tube, drop the 2 centimetre piece of ginger in the tube, and the other half the pear on top of the ginger, and then juice it. It'll take 30 seconds to do, probably. Have your little shot glass ready underneath the juicer, and then get it into the shot glass and down in one.
Down in one.
Amazing. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. There we are. So that's quite. That does sound like quite a relief one, almost, for people who may be finding the juice process a little bit arduous. That sounds like quite a nice one.
It's very simple. There's not a lot of ingredients needed, but it is really tasty and very cleansing. You know, pears are very cleansing for you. They're really, you know, they're a really, really good, healthy fruit, actually. Definitely. It's got loads, and the benefits of ginger as well. As I said last week, loads and loads of benefits of ginger and stuff from that.
Excellent. What we're going to do next time round is, I think, I'm looking at my sort of schedule of when I'll actually be able to do this detox. And I'm thinking, well, the trouble with a 7-day detox is I've not got 7 days when I'm not gigging. But I do have at least a 5-day, maybe a 6-day period when I'm not gigging.
Yeah.
So what it might have to be is, it might have to be a 5 or 6-day detox. Now, from what I've read about this, Sam, I believe that obviously you need to try and prepare your body for a detox. Maybe try and eat reasonably healthily, sort of a couple of days before and a couple of days after.
It's good to have a little bit of preparation, because you literally go from, like, drinking loads of tea and coffee and sugar and eating loads of, you know, chips and chocolate and stuff like that, to suddenly doing a detox, you might find it difficult.
I mean, a part of, obviously, for the listening thing, a part of me thinks maybe what I should do is I should have a sort of a coffee and chocolate binge the night before, and start my juice, and then obviously that increases the kind of agony, and I will obviously therefore, and probably make for a more entertaining podcast, although in some ways it'll probably just be ranting at the world, and then obviously we'll do it, and then we'll do a juice a minute on the at the end of the detox, and literally it'll be just me swearing at you. That's what it'll consist of. So next week we're going to talk about...
What you'll find out is that after the detox, you'll realise that although we like these chocolate bars, and they do taste very nice, certainly, they're not actually what they're made out to be. So although it tastes very nice, and they'll think, oh, chocolate's really, really nice, it's not the beginning and end of it, really. It's like, even though it tastes like we really love them, actually we don't need them, really. What you're better eating is the fruit and stuff. Having said that, we all keep reaching for the chocolate bars now and then.
Well, I was going to ask, do you still now and again sort of say, you know, I'm living reasonably healthily, I'm going to have a chocolate bar today, or do you not bother at all?
Yeah, I'm going to have one here and there,
So what's your favourite chocolate bar then, Sam?
A double-decker now and then.
A double-decker, that's an excellent choice. There we are, Sam. I mean, I think it's kind of a strange tone to end just a minute. Oh, when we talk about our favourite chocolate bars. I don't know what my chocolate bar is. I would certainly be up there with the double-decker, but
I think what's important, the reason why we can talk about this, is that you've got to be able to live as well, you see. So you can't live on a juice fast your whole life. You can't juice for every meal your whole life, you know. And if you try and fit juicing within your diet, so you're still getting a good amount of fruit and veg in your diet and everything. So you've got to have things in balance, you know. You can have bits of chocolate here and there, but it's got to be kind of here and there. It's not going to be all the time.
So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead of the detox, some sort of final preparatory tips as I embark on what probably will be a 5-day, but hopefully a 6-day detox. And then maybe on the 7th day, I just won't eat anything. How about that? Maybe when I'm doing a gig.
Yeah.
So that'll really, because I think what'll be great about that is, it'll probably be like a really big festival or something like that when I do this. It might be even Warwick. It might be even Warwick when it's time for. And what will happen is, I'll go on stage, and obviously I'll explain what the situation is. I could literally just, because I've not hardly eaten anything and all I've had is juice, I might kind of feel drunk almost. Who knows what it's going to be?
Yeah, that's the problem, is you've got loads of energy. That's the way mind, you know?
Yeah, so if it is Warwick, I'll let people know, but look out for that, people, because it may be worth getting to see that gig, because I might just be, dancing.
People are at Warwick, so I'll be able to...
Yeah, so that's what we'll do. So that's what I'll do. I'm going to do it so that the final juice a minute concludes with you and I talking about my detox, and you can see the amount of energy that I have, Sam. There you go. What a brilliant denouement to just a minute. But let's not get too carried away, because next week, another juice a minute from Sam Peart, and he will, of course, give us tips. And if any listeners want to do the detox with me, then feel free. Live for you, the number 4 and the letter U, now.wordpress.com is Sam Peart's blog about juicing and health. Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I'll speak to you next week.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Excellent. Goodbye. And we'll be seeing you next week. I'm pretty confident about that. I don't think you're going anywhere. For a start, you need to be kept up to date with all the latest folk-related news. And what better place to do that than to get it from the Youngins Podcast, the source for all the important folk-related news in our feature, Folk in Focus. Juice a Minute, of course, returns next week as well. And who knows what other stuff we'll be doing. We're going to end this week with an unexpected outtake, courtesy of Sean's dad, who started ranting about gardening and that kind of thing. You probably, if you've not heard the 108th Youngins Podcast, wonder what we're talking about. So we're going to play that clip that we talked about, Sean's dad and gardening, from the Sidmouth Folk Festival. But thank you for listening. Till next week, from me, David Eagle, and my fellow youngins, goodbye.
My dad, who lives right on the seafront in Hartlepool, he's a head teacher, and the most important thing in his life the last couple of years has been the Hartlepool Headland and Bloom gardening competition. He's getting old, you know, and he loves his garden, and he's won the trophy for the best garden in Hartlepool, which isn't much of a feat. I mean, you know. And so he's won it 2 years in a row, and this year he was going for the hat trick, and it's organised by the parish council. We're all a bit clicky, and he found out that this year they changed the rules, which meant he couldn't enter his back garden, his pride and joy into it, and he reckons, oh, I've got a fiction, or there's just conspiracy. Don't mind me. There's a conspiracy. So what he did, he put his entire back garden in the front garden. Like, everything, pots and everything, he's got loads. He had like a pianist in the corner playing. And loads of money on it. But so this morning we were driving down from Warwick last night, and it was about 9 o'clock, and I thought, hey, I better give my dad a ring and wish him good luck, you know. But I was driving, so I said to Dave, I'd say, ring me dad, and we'll all, you know, sing him a good luck song or something. And then I had this idea, oh, I tell you what, Dave, let's phone him and pretend to be from the parish council. And say something like, oh, how much money did you spend on your garden, Mr. Cooney? You know, there's a new rule that you can't spend more than 50 quid. That's what he did. And your dad, because he was expecting a call from them, you know, to arrange what time he was going to come round, fell for it, hook, line and sinker.
Is that what he said then? So he was like...
And I was really worried, because I said, hello, it's Mickey from the parish council.
He's like, oh, in his own voice. In his
the worst accents. Everyone can tell that's Mick from the Hartlepool Parents Council. We're all thinking that. So I said all this about the contravention of the rules. And the thing was, it got to the stage where I thought, I couldn't work out if he was, because he's one of these people, if there's a prank being done, he'll play along with it. So you never know when to bow out. So he sounded like he was getting quite, you know, annoyed and upset. But I thought, well, this is just Sean's dad, and this is what he does. So I kept going and I kept going. And eventually he went, oh, well, thank you for letting me know. I went, goodbye, Mick. Through the phone. I said, Sean's
put the phone down.
So for ages after, we were trying to contact him just to make sure, and he wouldn't answer the phone.
I had this image of him going and tipping, throwing all his pots at him. So we finally got through him, and my mum said, Charlie was, he did a John Cleese in Fawlty Towers. He just went off it. He was like, I am torn in the local. We'll get looked at on BBC TV down here.